follow the messages on screen, the written audio of initial navigation becomes available. This station will now stream on the
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We are your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we're ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yeah, welcome to episode 30. The big 3-0 on the podcast today.
That is 30.
It sure is. Hey, what's happening? What's going on?
We got a goodie. We've got a goodie.
You say that every time, but it can't be true every time.
It is true every time. Okay. Why would it not be true?
I don't know.
For you Urbanonians, whatever you call yourselves. So urbanites? Urbanonians.
Urbans. I just call them urbans.
Urbians.
Yeah.
So we got 15 wonderful skills
to
help you in an SHFTAISSRRTATONWKI
situation.
That's to support all the lesbians and gays.
LBQTVLS.
SHTFRLQB.
VVVXX.
For all, it covers everyone.
Yeah, we're talking about 15 urban survival skills.
Yep. And we got two good review boxes, we're going to review, whatever.
Oh, Tech Pack.
We got Battle Box and Tech Pack.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about that and all the regular crap we always talk about.
Same old. Got a good medical tip, I think.
Yeah,
because I
think
had
it's a
wondered
B+.
About this one as well.
I think it's a B plus.
Completely an A plus.
You think so?
I think so.
We'll let the listener decide. All right.
Decide.
But first, guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com. And they sent us a good one.
They have a good one.
Yeah.
I damaged my finger with one part of their box already.
You already done drew blood, boy.
Worth it.
Also, I got to tell you something real quick. The Kindle book, The Casual Prepper's Beginner's Guide to the Apocalypse, will be free all weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah. So, what day is that? Today?
Yeah, why wouldn't you get it? It's free.
Yeah, you'd be an idiot to not go grab it. So, it's a Kindle book, so any Kindle device, any device with a Kindle app, you can read it for free.
Yeah.
It's freaking awesome.
Maybe set up like 5 or 6 other accounts so that you can get it for free on other accounts as well.
Exactly. That's what you should do. So go check that out this weekend only. That would be, what is it, the 23rd
June.
Of June. So go check that out because you're going to love it, man.
Listener, reviews starts now.
So yeah, this one actually came from the, that was, what was that?
I don't know.
I have no idea what that was.
So yeah.
So this one actually came from the Amazon, the Kindle book. So we thank you for that. This is from Bird Saloon.
I was trying to read that this morning.
Bird Saloon?
Bird Saloon.
5 out of 5 stars. The title is, this book will have you like.
Enough said.
Oh,
done.
Oh, dang.
5 out of 5.
Anyway, it says, this book is like reading the podcast. It's a refreshing mix of candor, humor, and real advice. You will be both entertained and informed as Cam and Kobe walk you through one apocalyptic scenario after another. One thing I know for sure is I don't have enough toilet paper for the freeze-dried eggs in Walmart, but I do have some fun countermeasures.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, thank you for that. So if you want to be part of this, go ahead and go to iTunes, go to Facebook, go to the Kindle book.
Casual get it peppers. For free this weekend.
Yeah, get it for free this weekend. And leave us a 5-star review, and you can be a part of this too.
Social media shout out.
You too can be part of this listener review.
Yes. Social media shout out. So I want to say hi to the boys and girls over at the United Kingdom Survival Network.
We love the mother country.
We do, we do, we do. At UK Survival Network on Instagram. Go check them out. They want to survive. They're from the UK, and they got a network.
I already want to listen to them because they're from the UK.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to listen to them, but you can go check them out on...
No, I'm just saying. I want to listen to them.
You just want to, like...
Why don't you guys make a podcast? Because you got British accents.
Damn it, go make a podcast. right. Cool. We just like Brits. That's all there is to it, and we like their accents. So anyways, go say hi to them on Instagram, okay?
It's a mad, mad world.
It is. It absolutely is, and it's Cam's turn.
You want me to go?
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change it up right now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, fudge.
Well, okay. you're already talking about kind of stuff that I'm
not really, but
in
kind
a
of.
Way.
Yeah.
So, how about this heat wave, huh?
How about it?
So, record
we
heat
got
waves.
A little warm air coming in from the south.
Down here, we've got on the west coast, we have heat. And then in the Middle East, we've got...
Yeah, the Middle East.
The reason I wanted to bring it up is because we're coming into summer and there's already record temperatures. And today is the first day of summer and we're hitting record temperatures.
Global warming.
Yeah. Anyway, don't bring that up. but it's knocking out power. It's warping roads.
What?
It's burning heads. It's toasting stuff. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of, you know, I do... Honestly... In the winter, I wouldn't be so freaked out because like, yeah. I'm like, you can get away from the cold, but
you can
getting
put on,
cooked to death, I hate it. I
put
cannot
on another
stand.
Parka.
Yeah.
You can't, when you're naked and it's hot.
Right. So it's a crazy world. It's a crazy, yeah. mad
So
mad
I guess
world.
That means, you know, be ready for the warm weather, right?
Be
weather for the warm.
Be ready for natural disaster. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah. That could, yeah.
You get cooked.
Forest fires.
House going to start on fire.
Yeah.
Your drone's going to crash.
Oh, man. Cam crashed his drone. Cam purchased something. He got a new drone.
Yeah, we wanted to start ramping up the videos.
Yeah, it's going to be all aerial and stuff. Bird's eye view of Cam cutting off his finger.
Yeah. So I bought the Karma and flew it about 15 or so times, and then it freaked out on me and smashed into a gravel
sounds
hillside.
Like a woman.
Right.
Freaked out on you and crashed and whatnot.
But, yeah, pretty depressing. Pretty depressing.
It's going to be okay, Cameron. Because, did you hear about Russia's cyber weapon?
No, but you're going to tell
us. So this malware, which researchers have dubbed Crash Override. Crash Override.
Crash. Oh, nah, I don't want to do it.
The Crash Override.
This is Crash Override.
Hey, comrade, this Crash Override will kill your stuff. So
make sure everyone has Kaspersky.
You will not play the Minesweeper no more. Solitaire's out.
They should just freaking put a virus in Solitaire and knock out 90% of all the offices.
So anyways, Crash Override, it's known to have disrupted only one energy system, and that's in the Ukraine in December. So
freaking Ukraine gets hammered.
Those
poor bastards.
Suckers, man.
If anything, it's like the testing grounds for everything.
I just want to eat my Toshonka in peace and have power the rest of the night.
We need to test this. Why don't we attack the Ukraine?
We need to... We got some, like, weapons to test. Or should we just hit the Ukraine again? They're so easy.
They are always vulnerable.
They're always asleep and just, like, playing PlayStation and not really paying attention.
In that incident, the hackers briefly shut down one-fifth of the electric power generated in Kiev. But with modifications...
Seriously, though, the Ukraine is Russia's bitch.
It really is. Ukraine, you will be bitch now.
We're going to take the Baltic that's down in the Mediterranean. Or no, the Black Sea.
The Black Sea is our bitch.
We took part. Now let's test all of our other...
With modifications, it could be deployed against U.S. electrical transmission and distribution systems to devastating effect, according to the Washington Post. Bad deal that they've got that sort of stuff going on.
Director of Threat Intelligence for Dragons?
What's your title? I Threat Director of Dragons.
All right.
Okay, whatever, man. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah.
Okay, we're done with... We're probably not done with Russian accents.
I know.
But let's move on from them right now, anyways.
We've got to throw in some...
Some what?
We'll throw in some Asian in there.
I still feel horrible every time I do it.
I do feel that. Russians, I could care less.
Yeah, I don't feel bad if I do it with a Russian accent, but no. if it's...
It's insensitive.
Get off topic here, okay?
Yeah, that's true. We haven't been organized. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
We're gonna episode so content. Trouble. 15 urban survival skills.
Underlined and bolded. Episode content. Start reading it now.
Shred it.
Idiots, we should put, like, no accents. Stop talking about Russia. Go on with podcast. Just
in parentheses, control accents here.
Yeah.
Tone it down. No more Russian.
No more Russian. Anyways, so 15 urban survival skills. We thought this would actually be a really cool topic to do because we just got BattleBox mission.
Urban survival.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but it's urban survival.
I can't remember either.
Anyway. It's right there in front of you somewhere. What mission is it?
28.
28. Mission 28, urban survival. So it kind of got us thinking a little bit about, you know, urban survival. That's kind of a cool topic. We've talked about it a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
But we said, let's go with 15 skills or some of these aren't necessarily skills.
They're thrills.
They ain't skills. They're thrills. But a lot of it's just topics to talk about. Skills.
They're just for urban stuff survival. For us to talk about.
Yeah, we got to talk about something. And this is what we're talking about.
I liked it. I think it's useful. And I'd be terrified if I was in the...
Yeah. So the first skill, honestly, it should have been bugging out because get the F out of the city.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, you know, we know that there's probably going to be some sort of situations where you can't get out or...
Family's there.
You have to stay there for some reason.
You got work tomorrow.
Yeah, you got work tomorrow and everything's
traffic's all backed up.
Everything's radioactive. Maybe grandma's got a broken leg. We can't bug her out. We got to stay with grandma.
Yep.
So these are some things to think about, some skills and some shiz to think about. Number one, and it always comes back to this, it's water, right? So, you know, water itself is
good.
A skill, right? I got water skills.
I know, it's like...
I got bow skills, water skills.
Pretty much a good shooter, and I got water skills.
So we're considering you for our prepper group. What kind of skills you got?
Probably like masters in water skills.
I'm like the best water skill person I know, probably. But you know, it's almost like water as a total
as a top skill.
Shut up!
You're taking my place. Today.
I know. I am really. I really am. Okay. So the first thing with water, you know, make sure you have filters and purification methods, and you understand how to use them and how to do it right. Because, you know, we can have all the equipment in the world we want, but if we don't understand how to use it,
no good.
It's worth dick, basically.
Which is valuable.
Which is valuable in the apocalypse in itself. But we're going to move on from that. So have those filters, have those purification methods. Understand, you know, fire starting. And the reason I say that is because boiling is a really, really surefire purification method. So
it is.
Understand how to boil water. You know, learn methods of rain catchment, you know, tarps and barrels and cans and all those types of things so you can gather and collect water, you know, especially in an urban environment where maybe there's not streams and lakes.
And usually a river that passes through an urban place is not the best drinking water.
It's not, but, you know, you can purify it and drink right. It, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, so speaking of urban environments, some places that we can find water. And we've talked about some of these before, but water heaters, you know, 30 to 80 gallons. Every home pretty much has a water heater. Every business almost, you know, there's so many water. Yeah. I mean, if you can get 50 gallons.
An apartment's always, there's always one.
Yeah,
in.
Exactly. So that's kind of a big thing. You know, and some businesses actually even have bigger water heaters. They're huge. Many, many gallons. And so take a look at that. So. And another bonus is it's already been treated pretty much.
I'm
going to
case
drink.
My clinic.
See how big the
water heater.
Exactly. No, it's a really good idea, honestly. So there will also be some water left in the pipes that run through the walls. So if things get nutty and you're thirsty or you need to cook that mountain house and you don't have enough water, you can hack into the walls, you know, get into those pipes and, you know, drink that water. That was the sound of you drinking water. That wasn't. So also, every business, every home, the back of the toilet, not the bottom of the toilet, the back of the toilet.
Yeah, don't drink the turd.
Don't drink turd water.
Just ignore the turd.
You should have several gallons in the back of each of those that you can use. They should all be good unless they've been treated with. Like the weird
the blue
toilet
thing.
Cleaner stuff. Don't drink it then.
Up to 4 months.
Up to 4 months.
That stuff was sick. It was like jello.
It was nasty. So the back of the toilets, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Big deal.
So sprinkler systems. A lot of people don't think about that, but you will have water left in the sprinkler systems unless they've been blown out. And if the apocalypse comes, I ain't blowing out my sprinkler system.
No way. You put your mouth on there and...
Yeah. You're like that dude from the police academy. Right?
Yep.
So your sprinkler systems and your garden hoses, they will all have a little bit of water in them. See, what the hell are you laughing at?
Why I even made that sound?
Yeah, you're not going to get a ton from those sources, like the garden hose that's just laying there. But, it, you know, it might get you through the rest of the day, which might get you through the apocalypse.
Good.
Good.
Man, just sucking on a bunch of sprinkling system. Nothing. What are you looking at?
What are you looking at, asshole? I'm just drinking. So, swimming pools.
I'm just getting a drink.
Ain't you seen a man drink before?
Haven't you seen anybody with water skill? I'm just getting some water out of here.
Oh, you're a little hot. I gotta turn you down.
I am hot.
You didn't see someone with water skills like this before, hey?
What, you haven't seen water skill? All right. I'll settle down. Keep on focusing.
Some parts of the country, there's a lot of swimming pools. Obviously, a lot of those are treated with chemicals and whatnot. So make sure you boil, filter that stuff before you drink it. Half of that's piss anyways.
I don't know about that.
If you're going to die, you're gonna boil that and drink it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If there's a diaper floating in it, yeah.
Maybe look for a different pool.
Go to the next pool. Go to the next
That's
pool.
That's true. There's a lot of pool in there. A lot of water in there.
There's a lot of pool
There's
in
a
there.
Hell of a lot of pool in there.
Holy hell, look how much pool's in there. You ain't got no water skills, do you?
I can't do nothing with this. I don't got no water skill.
So, rivers, streams, and canals. Like we talked about, there might not be a lot of this available, but there's usually some sort of a canal or something running through a city.
Yeah, they're usually
some
nasty.
Waterways.
Bodies in them.
Oh, yeah, they're nasty. They're not.
When I was in São Paulo, it was just sludge.
Really?
It was just like barrels.
It was like,
and
just mud and...
Who knows, bodies.
Blood and
it was
dead
disgusting.
Cats.
It seriously just looked like sludge.
Yeah. Rooftops. This might seem odd, but a lot of businesses and buildings downtown have flat rooftops, so the water will collect up there.
True.
It's not going to be super clean, but it is rainwater, so it might not be horrible. Just, you know, go check it out. Go see what it, I mean, if you can get up there, just go check it out. If you got the water skills, you might as well do it.
I'm here to buy some stuff and check your roof out.
I'm not saying do it right now, but I mean, in the apocalypse or in some situation and you have to have water, you can go look on tops of the roof.
Okay. It's true, though, yeah. It's so true.
You're not lying about it.
We ain't got neither wrong direction.
Yeah, so get a silcock, y'all. And we're going to talk about that. Actually, we got one in the latest Battle Box.
Yeah, hey.
It's a really good idea to have in a bug out.
Subscribe to Battle Box and you get a seal cock.
It's a really good idea to have one in maybe a bug out bag, at least at home to have. Basically, that gives you access to the little water spouts on the outsides of public buildings and different types of buildings. As you can see it in our last Battle Box video.
We used it.
We did.
We stole from the church.
We stole church water. It was holy water. So anyways, that's water skills, and I hope you all develop your water skills to a point where you're proud of it.
You'd be sucking on sprinklers all through the apocalypse.
Look at that next door neighbor. He's an idiot sucking. I'm just honing my water skills.
You got any water in your sprinklers?
Mind if I check?
Oh. Okay.
Go ahead.
Number two, which says number one on here, makes no sense. So navigation.
Yeah.
Get a map of your city, of your cidad.
Cidade. Yeah, no, it's a good idea.
Yeah, because there's always different roads you've never been down.
Life is full of roads.
But no, it is important to get a map, even if you think you know your town. And also get maps of the surrounding towns, because you're probably going to end up scavenging everything in yours and then starting to spread out, you know?
Yeah, if you've made it through the apocalypse and you're hanging out in the city, yeah, you're going to be hoofing it, man.
You are. So, you know, it's always good to have paper maps, but
yeah,
we always talked about too, like having an old device that you can store a ton, and you can, I mean, I've got like topographical map of Utah on my phone, and it doesn't need the internet. So as long as my phone doesn't fry.
Yeah. As long as there's no EMP or solar flare, large type thing, you know, you can do that.
Right. And, yeah, the topographical ones are going to give you more information than just your regular for the typical bug out person, you know, and that's what you're going to want. That's what you're going to want. The other thing with navigation is you really need to learn how to use a compass.
Yeah.
You know, even though you're in the city and, you know, north and south is pretty easy to figure out, but it's really not that easy to use. Like,
no.
Like if you, I thought I'd just pick one up and be like, but.
And it depends. There's different types of compasses. Yeah. It's not, you don't just like go out there and just start.
Right.
Okay.
You really need to learn about them and what can interfere with them and, you know, because you're probably going to use them at some point.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
The other thing is,
Navigation. We're talking about navigation.
You know, we're probably going to do a podcast on navigation. We've kind of been planning it. It's going to take some time. So you're going to have to wait for that. Hopefully the apocalypse doesn't happen.
No.
There's a good chance that whenever disaster strikes, you're probably going to be on the opposite side of town. So knowing different routes to get back to your home or get to your bug out location. We've always talked about having, you know, a plan B, C, because, you know, it's not going to always go as planned.
Yeah, so have several routes for driving, and then, you know, maybe your car is not going to work. So have a couple of routes for walking, too.
Exactly.
You know, because you're probably not going to want to just walk the roads.
Right.
When I guess it depends. Yeah, in a city, you're probably going to have to.
Right.
You know.
And it's good to know that, you know, a lot of people are traveling. So, you know, there's a high likelihood that things are going to go down when you're not in your own hometown.
Yeah.
And being familiar with that town, or at least having a map, you know, if you're on a business trip, it's probably smart to have that map just in case something like that happens. You know, and if you really want to get into more detail, you look into, you know, subway systems, look into sewer systems and things like that.
I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in a section up here. But yeah, it's a good idea to know those things.
So you know, topographical maps, store them on your phone, have paper copies, you know, no alternate routes in and out and by foot and by, you know, vehicle. So
absolutely.
The end.
Yeah, navigation, number two. So self-defense is the next one. You know, if you're in a city, there's a lot of people, right? And people tend to panic and be crazy when stuff is going down in an SHTF situation. People are going to go nuts. They're going to want food. They're going to want water. They're going to want your vehicle. They're going to want a lot of stuff. So you're going to have altercations with people. And self-defense is a good thing to know. So number one thing with self-defense, just avoid confrontation. I mean, that's the number one thing always. There's no reason. I don't care who you are. Just avoid confrontation if you can. You know what I mean?
You're a tough guy.
Doesn't matter. Seriously, just don't do it. There's no reason to go out there and get your nose broken or, you know, break some bone or get...
Lose a twofer.
Yeah, you don't want to look like an idiot. it's hard to suck on a sprinkler with a loose tooth.
You ain't sucking on nothing.
You ain't sucking on nothing, boy. Smile. You ain't sucking on nothing.
You ain't going to be able to procreate if you have a tooth missing.
The number one thing to learn is some sort of hand-to-hand combat, right? Maybe because you're going to go out there, you might not have a weapon. You might not have a gun. Know how to throw a punch. Know how to block a punch. I mean, it's a very, very simple thing to do, but if you do it right, it's much more effective.
Right.
I mean, take a boxing class. Take a self-defense class. There's self-defense class. Flint's classes everywhere.
These are different than defense classes.
Yeah, they're a little different, but you want to get into them.
I used to do a little bit of boxing class, but then some butthole shut down his...
Yeah, thanks a lot, homie. We're talking to you. I know you're listening. Anyway, speaking of homie, one of his things he says, this is my brother-in-law, he's big into jiu-jitsu, boxing, he's been an MMA coach, he's done a lot of different things. He suggests, Gracie Combatives, it's a type of jiu-jitsu for, and I actually talk about this in the book a little bit, if you haven't read that, Cameron. he talks about Gracie Combatives, it's a type of, like, a street fighting jiu-jitsu.
I'll get it when it's free.
Yeah.
I'll wait until this weekend.
Like 2 days. I gave it to you a long time ago, prick. So Yeah, so check that out, because, you know, fights, they go to the ground. As much as you
want
to sit there and punch each other.
Or you want them to go to the ground.
Yeah,
you know?
And if you know a little bit of jiu-jitsu, you know how to wrestle a little bit, some grappling, you're going to be way ahead of the game.
I know how to wrestle.
Yeah, I don't wrestle with a loose tooth. be in shape. That's going to help you in any sort of self-defense situation. If your heart's beating 8 million miles an hour.
We'll get to that.
Carry a weapon. I mean, this is why I think EDC is such a big thing. Even if you just have a folding knife on you at all times, if you pull out a knife and the guy doesn't have anything, they're done, right? I mean, they're going to, unless they're a crazy, you know, fighting expert or something, they're just going to say, okay, see you later.
You got
a knife. So that's a really good way to avoid, you know, some sort of confrontation. You always have a knife on you. I always have a knife on me, no matter what.
Right.
I don't have to fist fight, boy. You're looking at me like,
what are you talking about? Why do you got a knife?
Why you got a knife?
He's supposed to carry a knife.
Obviously, handgun, you know, weapons, those things are, especially in an SHTF situation, make sure you, you know, have a handgun, know how to use it, and that kind
of
stuff.
There's a lot of, like, alternative, you know, like, not only jiu-jitsu, but, like my cousin teaches Kenpo, and I remember a lot of times it talks about,
sticks
like protecting the vitals, like the insides of your hands, your tendons. Like if you get in a knife fight, you want them to dice up the back of your hand, you know,
not the front.
Instead of getting your wrists and getting where you're going to lose function of your, you know, your arms and stuff. So there's a lot of different things out there to learn.
I think it's
about,
a good idea. Yeah.
You know, if you're going to get a knife fight, you want to see what's the most, like, if you're going to get, you know, swung at and stabbed at,
how do
you
defend
want
against
to,
that?
Yeah. To be the least amount of damage to your body. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's self-defense. I've got the next one as well. This one was kind of fun, and I think we're probably going to do a full podcast on it soon. So in the city, escape and evasion. This might be a big thing depending on what's going on and what sort of situation you're in. Maybe you're in a riot. You know, maybe it's some sort of terrorist situation. Maybe it's just you got kidnapped because they want, you know, whatever.
Right.
Escape and evasion, I think it's a really good
thing. They want your water skills.
Yeah. You that guy that got them water skills.
You that guy who's got water skill.
So some tips on escape and evasion. Just make sure, if you can, travel light, especially through populated environments, you know. You're going to be much quicker. So if you need to escape, if you need to evade, you're going to be able to go much. You know, if you have your full bug out bag on, you're running through town all the time, not a good idea, right? Yeah, you're going to be huffing and puffing. There's strength in numbers. I mean, if you have two or three guys with you, you're less likely to be messed with, right? So, know the city, that especially for escape and evasion. If you know the city, if you've done your homework, you have maps, you know that kind of stuff, it's going to be much easier to escape and evade, bad dudes. If you know the city.
Bad guys. Mm-hmm. Hate bad guys.
Intel. So this
one. Good
one,
processor.
What?
It's a good processor.
What is? Intel. Oh, okay. Like, what are you talking about? I thought you were still talking about bad guys.
Bad guy processor.
Yeah, Intel. You know, as much information as you can get about what's going on in your city at all times is going to be a huge advantage to you, especially in escape and evasion. So if there's still, you know, radio, if there's still internet, you know, and you can check those types of things. Maybe you're in a riot. We've talked about this before. Check Facebook. Check Twitter. See what's going on before you're going into town, because if you have to go away and they said, oh, there's a roadblock over there and you didn't know about that,
you're going to be in a roadblock.
You're going to be in a roadblock. It's not good. Communication, radios, phones, hand signals, any kind of communication you can get is going to be a huge advantage. Yeah, flipping the bird. you know if there are checkpoints. Are you in a martial law situation? Know the curfews. Know where those checkpoints are. So you can evade those if you have to. And you know the gathering areas for big groups. So some other things for escape, you know, learn how to pick handcuff locks. That's a really good thing, because if you get, even if it's, you know, the police, maybe they've gone rogue, or, you know, the military, they put you in a handcuff, and understand how to get out of those. Have a handcuff key on you at all times.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that have them.
So many people.
Bracelets and wallets.
Exactly. They make keychains. They make zipper pulls.
Oh,
you
really?
Know, like on your jackets or your pants or whatever, that can be a handcuff key. I don't really know how you get to that if your hands are cuffed behind your back. But anyways, it's good to
have
if somebody else
on
can
the
grab
back
it.
Of your pants or something.
Exactly. Learn to break free of zip ties, because a lot of times they'll use zip ties instead of handcuffs to tie you up.
That's where you use the cash belt.
Yeah.
Put a key
exactly.
Right
you could have
back.
It in the back, huh?
Sweet.
Yeah, so check out the Wazoo cash belt. Or, you know, Ready Man even makes that little cash.
The little sleeve.
Sleeve. So yeah, you could have it right That's on the true. Back That's with the handcuff idea. Key. It is a really good idea.
Patent. We patented that.
Well, they already did that. There's a ton of videos to learn to break free of zip ties. There's a lot of different ways you can actually do it. And it's a really good idea to figure it out and to understand it. So if you get locked in a trunk, just understand that any car after 2001 has safety release handles inside the trunks. So kind of know where those are usually located and how to use those, because maybe the Russians threw you in a trunk and you want to get out, right?
It's the first thing I ask when I look at new vehicles.
Is it?
Where's your release handles?
Can you put me in a trunk?
Like if a body's in there?
So put me in a trunk.
How can people get out?
Is it easy to get out?
Could you tie me up and put me in here?
I want it all on camera. So use darkness, inclement weather, dust, smoke, haze, ground cover, and any combat action. It will provide opportunities for concealment and for evasion. So this is kind of a fun part. Maybe you're driving, and maybe you have a tail, and maybe people are after you, and they're bad people, Cameron. Maybe it's the Russians, and they're trying to put malware on your computer.
Yeah, they'll get you.
Anyways, here's a few quick techniques if you're trying to elude a vehicle or if you have surveillance on or a tail or something like that. So after turning a red light or driving the wrong way on a one-way street, watch to see if anyone follows. Obviously. Duh. While traveling on a freeway at high speed, suddenly cut across four lanes of traffic and make an exit.
Boom.
Yeah, so.
Seen that a million times in Hollywood movies.
I've seen it a million times on a freeway.
I just do it normally. Yeah. I don't even do it if I'm trying to get rid of somebody.
After rounding a blind curve, make a bootlegger's turn, turn all the way around, and take off in the opposite direction.
Ooh.
So you're going to see if somebody's following
That's
you there.
That's some trickery.
Yeah. After turning a corner, pull over and park. Take note of all vehicles passing by. You can check out everybody going through the alleys, dirt roads, or even cut across people's lawns. So just go nuts.
Here's where your maps come in.
Exactly. Know where, what's going on, where you're going. While driving over a long, undivided bridge, make a bootlegger's turn. Go back.
Nice.
And have a friend follow you. Detect any surveillance.
Cool.
So those are some really quick and easy evade, escape, urban tips, and there's a lot more on that.
Nice.
But that's all I'm giving you today.
We'll have a bloody good episode when we do that. Mm-hmm. I've always thought about that too, like in town where I would go for like a good like road to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
Like a good sneaky spot.
Yeah. Also, I forgot to mention this too. Have an escape and evasion kit somewhere in your car if you have it. You know what I mean? Have that handcuff key. Have different things that can help you in those situations. Anyways,
yeah. hold on before you take me. Let me get my kit.
Hey, I need my kit.
I just need one kit, and then you can take me.
Time out. Hold on one second.
Number five, first aid. So y'all need to know how to put a Band-Aid on.
You do. Really do.
So, like we've talked about this a lot, too. You know, you have this super complex first aid kit that you've bought for the apocalypse, and you know how to use 10% of it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what these scissors are for. I don't know what this bandage goes to. I don't know where this gets stuck into. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I put this in. So
that sounds like my wedding night.
Yeah. Where did this go? So, yeah, you need to know how to use the things that you have in a kit. And
in any kit.
Yeah, and that helps you also to see what things you're lacking that, you know, will be useful.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is you definitely want to know common medicines, you know, not just your Tylenol, ibuprofen, because you're probably going to come, like, scavenging, you're going to come across, like, different antibiotics.
Different types of medicine.
And, you know, if you go to an elderly person's house, you've got, like, a pharmacy worth of meds to go through.
Oh, yeah.
So knowing what's useful, you know.
Yeah.
Like Viagra, boom, I want that.
Do they make any sort of like reference, like a paper reference you could have that has
they
like
do.
Most?
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be a bad idea to have something like that.
No, it wouldn't.
You know?
Yeah. Honestly, the free one, that's a good idea.
I think that's a good idea to think about.
Because you really are going to need medicines, and there are tons. I mean,
even the same medicine.
An enormous amount that does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Tons of them. So there's name brands, there's generics. So you really want to get, you know, a good idea of what the most common, least expensive that are going to be the most likely in households.
Maybe you can, for everybody on the website, maybe you could write an
article. Yeah, we could. That actually is a good idea.
And actually you have a link to a place where you can get some sort of a reference.
Yeah, you could print out.
Be a good idea.
If you're on like Medicaid, mm-hmm. you just go on and print out your formulary. That'll tell you everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
The formulary has, you know, antihypertensives and then all the names,
oh, really?
The generics.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That actually is really a useful thing.
Let's try and figure that out for everybody. That's a good
idea. Yeah, no, that is a good idea. The other thing is build a library of books, you know.
Yeah.
There's suturing guides online. You can print them all off, PDFs, mm-hmm. home remedies, medicinal plants, all this can be, I mean, these are books that are, you know, valuable and, mm-hmm. you know, you can also use them to barter, which is another thing we'll talk about. But yeah, you can't go wrong with collecting small little books that are going to give you all this information.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's, I mean, like in my field, you know, I'm always referring to my library of, you know, how do I put on a Band-Aid? Where is the ear found?
What is a pap smear?
Which hole is the correct one to put the speculum in? Having those guides and printouts is, we've talked about that too, you know, have a suturing PDF stuck in your med kit. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Or basic life support, you know, the steps. Not everybody goes through those every day or needs to, but
CPR and all that.
Yeah, you just print them
out. Yeah.
Step one. Let's
see. Assess the situation.
Secure the airway. This guy's dead.
I know, exactly.
But yeah, you know, it's as easy as just printing them out. You can get all that accessible online.
Right.
And, you know, the other thing is know your supplies and, like we talked about, how mm-hmm. they can be utilized and how they can, what things you can use to deal with in your area, what's most likely, like if there's tear gas, you know, from a riot.
Right.
How would you deal with that? We actually talked about it in one mm-hmm. of the episodes.
Yeah.
I think it was a writing episode. I talked about managing tear gas, you know, rinsing your eyes. So having things to deal with what's the most likely bodily harm that you're probably going to be involved in
right.
in that area.
Yeah.
Or, you know, chemical attacks, things like that. But yeah, you know, and have those med kits available in multiple areas.
Yeah.
Your workplace and your car and, you know, and things like that. So there's 10 to go in on medicine, but those are some real basic.
First aid is huge.
It is. So
we probably need to do an entire podcast on first aid.
I'd like to do one
again.
I can't
believe we haven't done. Have we done one? We have.
I don't think we've done one specifically on medicine, no.
We did what?
We've never done one specifically on medicine.
But have we done? We haven't really done a first aid one,
just
have we?
First aid kits? No, we've always included it.
God, we need to do that.
We can break it down.
What's wrong with us? So the next one we've talked about extensively in episode 8, scavenging in an urban SHTF situation. I think it's a skill, and I think it's something that everybody should at least think about beforehand. I mean, you're just driving down through your city.
Yeah.
Just be thinking, like, so something goes down. You know, maybe stuff goes nuts for a couple weeks. I'm holed up in my house, and then I have to go out. Where am I going to go?
Right.
How am I going to do it, and what tools
am I
going to
take? A lot of people think, you know, you're just going to go rummage through what's left at Walmart. No, there's a lot more to it, safety-wise, and how to pack it out, how to, you know, what tools to take in.
And that's the problem. Everybody's going to go to Walmart, right? That's what they want. That's where they want to go because they know that that's where their food is and whatnot. So maybe that's not the best option. So it's something for you guys, for everybody to think about. It's just as you're driving through your city, you know, just think.
Go to like Kmart because nobody goes there. And
yeah,
it's probably
closed down anyways.
It's going to be completely stocked.
Yeah. So, you know, first go take a listen to episode 8. I think it was a good podcast. There's a lot of good information on that.
I learned a lot of stuff.
I did too. Absolutely. So, you know, the basics of scavenging in an urban environment, send out a scout first. Somebody who's quick, somebody who's quiet, somebody who can get in and get out. Take a look and see what's going on. You know, is there people maybe holed up in that place where you thought you were going to go scavenge? It's probably not a good idea to get in there if there's four or five guys in there, you know. So send out a scout, you know, have a plan. Know where you're going. Don't just go, oh, we're going to go scavenge, you know.
Nope.
Be back by 9. Yep. You know, no, that's not really a good idea. You need to have a plan. You need to know, again, you need to know your city. You need to have a map. Plan it out. Just make sure you know exactly what's going on. You're going to be so much better off.
You need a Lieutenant Mark Rumsfeld.
You do.
Spotting for you.
Yep. Yes. So have the gear. Know what kind of tools and you know, even weapons that you might need in those situations. You know, a door breacher, we're going to talk about that because we got two of them.
Yeah.
Bolt cutters and stuff
like that.
Bolt cutters and trenching tools, axe, hatchets, you know, any sort of weapons. You know, the Silcock key is a good scavenging for water.
And the battle box has some of those scavenging tools.
Yeah, it has a lot of them for this one. So,
yeah, it does. That's like primarily what it was.
Yeah,
huh?
it was a really good box. It was one of my favorites. So there's a lot of different places. Like we said, people look at Walmart and they say, that's where I'm going. I'm going to the grocery store. You know, 3 days, that stuff's gone.
Yep. I want my DVDs.
Yeah. You can go get your DVDs, but, you know, your food's gone in 3 days from the grocery store.
Oh, easy.
3 days, and that's it. So you need to start widening your search and be thinking kind of outside the box because most people aren't going to even think about it. You know, hospitals obviously is a good place for food too because they all have cafeterias. Obviously, all the first aid supplies, the medicine, it's a big thing. Grocery stores, like we said, but they're going to, you know, 3 days they're gone. Restaurants, even the big distribution centers is a really good place.
Yeah. I thought about that because out
like
where my parents
Cisco type stuff.
Has a Walmart distribution. I'm like, that's where I would go primarily. Like, I wouldn't go to the regular store.
Yeah.
I'd go hit those freaking.
Because most people aren't going to go clear out there. Mm-mm. Those things are usually kind
of
out
is.
By
it's
themselves.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
So it's not a bad idea to check that out. You know, check out vehicles, you know, abandoned vehicles. You can usually find tons of.
Out where my parents, there's Procter & Gamble.
Oh,
out
really?
In the middle of nowhere. And then there's Walmart.
And Smith & Edwards.
And Smith & Edwards. Cut your boy's door.
Fire stations are always a good place to go check out too. Lots of water usually.
What?
First aid.
Shuck on that hole.
Yeah. Please.
Then you can ride the pole. Whee.
Ride the pole after you shuck on
you
a fire hose.
Don't you pole dance while I shuck on this hole?
Cam's gonna ride the pole after he shucks on the fire hose.
Turn that siren on.
Turn your siren on, boy. You got a loose tooth? What kind of water skills you got?
Just wearing the fireman's jacket, no shirt on. Yeah, sucking on hoses.
Exactly.
Those guys got water skill.
Yeah, they do.
All those firemen
they
got
do.
Water skill.
They got water skills. So anyways, that's kind of the basics of scavenging in an SHTF urban environment. Always a good idea to understand that.
Very, very true. Mm-hmm. So just a little bit on bartering, you know, we had an episode pretty recent, 25, which, go listen to right now and we will pause until you do so.
Well done.
So we discussed about like having, It's disgusting.
Bartering. It's just so disgusting. I don't want to haggle with you people.
We talked about having vices and getting your hands on vices, you know, tobacco and alcohol and things that. You know, there's some other uses for alcohol, you know, not just to get hammered.
Yeah, sterilize
stuff. And but that's an excellent bartering thing for, you know, the alcoholics and for medicinal uses.
Mm-hmm.
So know what items you have, what items are valuable or could be valuable in bartering, you know, ammo and what things are, you know, that you can really get your biggest bang for the buck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is a skill that definitely it takes practice, and it's kind of a hard thing to do. I mean, they have websites that you can practice your bartering skills.
Do they really?
They do.
Oh, man.
I know. Hey, I just want to try to pawn off some bullets I found downtown.
Practice your bartering.
I found some buttons in my basement. Does anybody want buttons?
Your wife walks in. Honey, are you looking at porn? No, I'm just practicing my bartering.
Scary. I mean, eBay, in a way, is kind of bartering.
Well, I mean, it is, yeah, but...
But, it is a skill that's difficult to kind of practice, but,
yeah.
You know, you have the garage sale stuff like in town,
yeah.
You know, people are always kind of bouncing back and forth about prices and things like that. But yeah, I mean, moral of the story here on the bartering is, you know, look at those items that you can stock up on that can be used solely for bartering that, mm-hmm. you know, you don't feel are going to be useful, but you know, other people are going to need it. Like for me, you know, expired bandages that we throw out at work. I mean, I'm just like piling up on those.
Oh man, that's awesome.
And even
why don't you give me some of those?
Even expired. I don't. Did I say I did that? I don't do that.
Jeez.
So yeah, and expired meds. I mean, they have expired saline, like stuff that's going to be completely useful. We can't use it in the clinic,
right?
So stuff like that, you know, good bartering tools. So if you can stock up, I mean, whatever you do for work. I mean, if you can bring home a bunch of sheets of paper.
Yeah.
It can be useful. I'm bring kids home extra, draw on it.
Extra video cameras.
I got a bunch of toner that is probably useful.
It's the HP kind.
Yeah. So, you know, not always looking at those things that your family needs, but things that you could barter with.
Absolutely.
Moral story. That's it.
Fantastic. Done. Guys, real quick, let's talk about the 3%er. You guys, the 3%ers are all diehard American patriots who craft pro-gun, patriotic, and American Revolution-related apparel. They are extremely passionate about what they do, and everything is made to order in-house. Go to the3%er.com and get the very best gear for any Second Amendment America-loving patriot. That's the3%er.com, and use our code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off. I was actually looking through their shirts yesterday. I don't know how I got over there, but man, they have so many shirts that I want.
If you are listening to our podcast and you can't find a shirt you don't like from their website, I would be really surprised.
Seriously, there is so many cool shirts, and they're really reasonably priced.
They are.
That's what I like
about
it.
They're way comfortable.
You don't go there, and it's not like $30 for a t-shirt. You know, you can get them for $16, $20.
Yeah,
and they're good.
Super clean. Like they're not all gaudy and.
And that's where you can actually grab our shirts are sold through the 3%er. And if you haven't got one of our shirts yet, what the hell?
Yeah.
Seriously, you can go ahead and grab those. We have three different styles. They're all fantastic, and you should go get them.
Now.
Yeah.
For 10% off.
The3%er.com. Yep.
Good. So quickly moving on, escaping riots. Again, we talked about this in episode 19.
Mm-hmm.
So the most important thing in there is for women to wear baggy clothes and look really hideous.
Yeah, that was honestly probably one of the funniest moments.
That one was a funny
any podcast. I listened to it the other day and I was seriously like, "Oh my gosh, I was dying." We're idiots, but it was funny.
So you just want to look ugly. Some of you, that's natural. So you're lucky.
Yeah, well, you better kind of go over what we said there, I guess, about the baggy dress.
Why don't you go over it?
No.
Better? You just recently listened to it.
Well, the reason you said it is because you're in a riot. The good-looking women will probably be harassed a little more by the boys, right, and the men. And so the suggestion was to wear baggy clothes and to not look attractive so that
basically you hide your boobers.
Yeah. You're less of a target.
Yeah.
That's something you can think about, I guess.
It's important. You want to survive.
Yeah.
Don't let the guy
good look advice. At
you. I can't even focus now. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
So remaining calm in a riot, you know, don't go crazy and freak out and try and run away. You're probably going to be targeted.
Yeah,
look at that pussy.
You get him. He's trying to leave. I want to beat the hell out of him.
He's got no tooth.
I bet he got water skills.
Kobe talked a lot about like keeping your back against the wall so so you kind of don't have anybody jumping on the back. I got both hands up like rabage.
Yeah.
You also, you know, you don't want to directly go to law enforcement because they don't know.
No.
They're like,
they think you're one
shabam!
Of the punks, you know.
Yeah. They'll knock you out, knock you cold. Staying close to walls, try to avoid the law enforcement and blend in. You know, put your hat backwards.
Whoop and holler and
put your
spit.
Put your hat backwards. Put a pirate patch on.
Yeah.
Paint your face a skeleton.
Get a hook hand.
No one will. No one will know.
No idea what you're doing. Oh, that's just another rioter.
Look at his hook hand.
Look at his hook hand. That dude's here to riot.
Just carry a 2x4. That guy's got
Hacksaw Jim Duggan outfit.
Just walking to town carrying a TV. Okay, yeah, he's good. Don't let.
If there's any chance of a riot, just carry a TV with you wherever you go.
You're going to never be bothered.
Honey, what are you doing? There might be riots today.
Let me carry my TV, my monitor. Just carrying a microwave in town. Oh, he just stole a microwave. It's fine. We should do another riot episode.
We really should.
Because that's obviously one of the funniest ones to talk about. So, you know, we talked about blending in. You know, we've been wanting to do like a gray man episode, which would apply to riots too. You know, just kind of looking gray, blending in.
Blending.
So, and try to not be too crazy about getting into riots. Get yourself killed.
Blend in, but don't blend in too good. Don't be like the riot master. Just throwing shit all over the street.
Carrying a microwave with a hook hand and a pirate patch.
2x4 over your shoulders, spitting.
Swearing and putting your head through windows. That guy's here to ride.
That asshole's here to ride. I know.
Now, I've seen a lot of riders, but that guy is here to cause some shit.
I've seen riders, and I've seen riders. That dude's a rider.
He is a skilled rider. Okay, moving on. Move on. 10 car mechanics.
No,
so,
you missed firearms.
Cars and
you missed firearms.
I did?
Yeah, firearms.
Okay, Swiper.
Swiper.
Swiper swapper. Swiper swapper these. I'm dressing as a rider this Christmas. Okay. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm a rider.
Merry Christmas.
I meant Halloween. So, firearms.
Merry Christmas. I'm here to screw shit up.
I'm gonna steal your present. All right. So, with firearms, obviously there is a ton to know about them. As somebody that lives in an urban area,
yes,
you really should know how to use a handgun. That's the most likely thing you're gonna find and come across.
Yeah.
Being able to aim at moving targets. So I'm not telling you to go downtown and practice and shooting at cars and people.
Don't do that.
Shoot at riders.
But yeah, you should really feel comfortable with a handgun, particularly your own.
Unless you have a hook hand.
That would be really hard.
Yeah.
Maybe you could twist on your own gun.
Yeah.
Hey, that guy's got a twist on gun.
He's got a gun hand.
Cannon. Holy hell, is that Mega Man?
Mega Man.
No different ammo, and, you know, you should know that already.
Understand.
22 doesn't fit in a 44 chamber.
Yeah.
No, you really should know how to clean a weapon and take care of a weapon, because it may be your only one ever.
Yeah.
And you will never find another one like it. Self-defense with a firearm, you know, we're not telling you to kill or shoot immediately, but, you know.
You need to have the option available, and it can deter a lot of people. Just
exactly.
Flashing a gun will
exactly.
deter a lot of people.
Being comfortable with it, and, you know, especially under pressure, you know, is your safety on? You know, that's a common thing. It's like, if you're not comfortable with it and fumbling it around, you know, it's useless to you. It's probably more dangerous.
Yeah.
It's also, firearms are very huge bargaining pieces.
Yeah.
So, knowing what ones are valuable, you know, which weapons are probably the most common and which types of ammo are the most common. Also be comfortable with adjusting your sights and using scopes and things like that. So there's a ton on firearms. I mean, just the basics, you know, being comfortable with it, knowing how to sight it in, knowing how to use it. So,
good idea.
On again, I gotta go again.
Yeah, bro. Keep going.
So cars and, you know, mechanics. So you really, if you don't know how to change a tire, change a battery, jump start a car, you're dead.
Yeah, you really have to know the basics.
Yeah.
For sure. And that's women, that's men, that's kids even.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And like my wife, I mean, I've had a flat when she's with me, and I try and tell her, you know. I feel like it's like, you know, A Christmas Story. She's standing back there. I'm like, hold on to these bolts.
Fudge. Yeah.
But it's good to know how to do those things. Sorry, I just hit that hard.
You're all right.
Changing oil, what oil, you know, different vehicles require. You really need to know those basics about vehicles, because yours, unless you have the nicest vehicle in the world, you're probably going to need to do basic maintenance.
Even some sort of apocalyptic SHTF scenario, you might have to go fix up cars to have something to run. You might have to break into a car, you might have to pull parts off a car. There's so many different things that with mechanics that you might need to know. But even just the very basic stuff is going to be a huge asset,
right?
In trying to survive in an urban environment, because there's cars everywhere,
right?
I mean, they're going to be everywhere. It doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
So just having that kind of knowledge is going to be a big deal, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, those little code readers, they're super cheap. Like, I have one. And
you do have one?
Yeah, they're really cheap. They're super, super cheap.
Like, way cheap, man.
But, yeah, those will read you the codes. The other thing that's important is to have a manual for both of your vehicles. If you
What if you only have one vehicle?
Right. And then, have two manuals for that one.
Okay.
But a lot of people, you know, I've bought used cars. I actually don't even think I have a manual for my car because it was purchased used and somebody threw it away. And those are easy to get anywhere. But it's good to have those because if that's the vehicle you're going to be using the most, you want to know everything about it.
Right.
And then, you know, knowing different storage compartments and different vehicles, where to find, especially your own, where to find the jacks and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, the basic things, thinking about traveling, and if you're trying to get out of somewhere, you want to know how to, you know, take care of your own vehicle really well.
Absolutely.
So, know your vehicles.
Know your vehicles, kids.
Power.
So, that doesn't really sound like a skill, does it? Power.
You need to earn power. Yeah. Put more points towards power.
Yeah. So, basically, when we say power, and kind of what I was thinking on this is,
you're going to take the power back.
Understanding ways to generate power, having the assets and the gear to produce power if there is none available, right? So obviously one of the biggest things is batteries because, you know, when the lights go out, you're going to need flashlights. You're going to need pretty much everything can run. I mean, radios, all those types of things run off batteries. So have those, and again, those are really great bartering items. You know,
yeah.
We keep going
renewable
back to
power. And
yeah, exactly. You know, solar, and I think solar is the biggest thing for preppers. I mean, solar, any type of solar charger, solar powered lights.
Yeah.
You know, solar generator. All those types of things. I mean, it's renewable. Relatively cheap, some of it. The solar generators aren't that cheap. But
no. Well, and there's certain things, too, with solar you need to, like, understand is, you know, can this really give me that much power with such a teeny window? Because
exactly.
There's a lot of scammy crap
like that.
You know, it's like, this is going to be solar. It'll take 15 weeks before you actually fully charge whatever that device
is
because it's such a small panel.
And to me, lights are the biggest thing. Solar lights.
Right.
Have solar lights. I mean, they're such a
and
huge
spend
asset.
Money on it, like a decent quality type.
The one I've got, the personal solar light, those things are pretty
good
quality. I've got a couple other ones.
But there's
some chintzy
crap out there.
Oh, there is. There absolutely
and
is.
I guarantee you're not going to get a good charge out of that.
And then also, you know, just regular fuel generators. Having those, I mean, can you imagine if you're the guy in the city who has the generator? I mean, you're obviously going to be a target, but you also have a lot of power, literally, like, you know, and figuratively. You're going to have a lot of power because you have the power, right?
I got the power.
Yeah.
I'm still looking into getting a good dual fuel type, you know, one that's diesel and propane.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I definitely want a generator. I do.
Everybody knows you can't take hoverboards over water unless you've got power. So, you know, things like we just got a BioLite for review. I think things like that are going to be huge assets as well.
Yeah.
We haven't tested it out yet, but it looks like a really cool product. You basically build a fire in it. There's a fan in it, and it starts producing energy for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to get a ton, but you can charge devices, and you can do, you know, those types of things
with
them.
And we've talked about those cool little hydro generators.
You
just toss in the river.
Yeah,
and
toss in the river.
Little turbine spins from the current. Yeah.
So understanding those things, knowing about them, having those things.
You will want power.
You're going to want power.
Definitely.
So I think that's a huge asset and a huge skill. The next one is conditioning and fitness. And this one is tough for some people.
It is tough.
You know, it really is. It's tough for me. I don't stay as fit as I need to.
No. I went mountain biking. I went mountain biking.
And then also had a stroke.
And I'm not fit enough to make it very far on a pedal bike.
No, it's and you think it's going to be so easy.
Yeah, you're like, dude, I'm pretty young, you know.
A few years ago, remember when we were going out on a couple miles like every once a week or twice a week or something?
I thought about riding my bike here, but then I was like, it's still 92 outside.
Yeah,
I'm not coming.
I'm not going to do that. So, you know, your number one thing, as they say in Zombieland, is cardio.
It really is.
Cardio is always going to be the biggest thing because you're going to be walking, you're going to be hiking, you're going to be running, especially through cities. You don't know what you're going to encounter. You just need to be ready to go and to be able to go quick at any time.
It's good to be agile.
And to go for a long distance if you have to. You know, maybe you got to get a couple miles down the road before somebody kills your cousin. You need to get down there.
Ooh, yeah.
You know? So
maybe hook rider chasing you.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think it's a good idea for people to, as they're training, maybe even train with their bug out bag, you know, with their packs on. I think that's a really good idea. Hiking with your packs, get you used to doing that because if when it comes down to it, and it's the first time you've taken your bug out bag out, yeah, it's probably not a good idea, right? So the other thing is strength. You're gonna have to have some sort of strength. You're gonna encounter things like you're gonna have to clear rubble from the road, or
carry a microwave
with one hand. You're gonna have to, you know, maybe there's a door that you need to breach, and you need to have strength to get through. There's a lot of different things. So, you know, lifting weights and being ready for that is a good idea. Flexible. This is something I've actually started lately because I felt like I'm the stiffest person on earth. I started yoga, and it sounds really like wussy, but it has helped a ton. Doing yoga, literally, like it is huge. For
flexibility.
Me.
You know, they've always talked about flexibility. Actually is almost more helpful in mm-hmm. strength
yeah.
than it is just to be bulky.
You just feel better. You feel healthier. Your joints are better.
Painful.
There's just a lot of things. And I put this on there just because I don't know. This seems to be a theme with some preppers and zombies and whatnot. Parkour.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think it's like the agile. Like,
exactly.
You really need to be scaling, you know, ladders and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You have to have that fitness to do yeah. that because you're going to want to.
So maybe try it. I don't know. I'm probably not going
yeah.
to, but yeah. you can. And I think
it
would.
Test it out on a 30-foot building.
Exactly. Sure. It would be an asset. Roof. So anyways,
definitely.
Conditioning, fitness.
Amen. And we'll blast through these last ones so you guys are so bored. So gardening. The reason I wanted to throw that in there is there's a good chance you're going to be bugging in, and you're in that location where you don't have a lot of land, a lot
yeah.
of space,
mm-hmm.
you know, nor do you want to go, you know, hiking 20 miles out of town to get to your garden.
Yeah.
So you're going to need to have some skill in those, you know, like hydroponics and aeroponics and aquaponics where you,
yeah.
you know, your fish, you're going to have, you know, a little pond.
Hooked on ponics.
yeah. But knowing how to do those things and growing indoors, I mean, that's a whole completely different skill that I don't have any knowledge of, you know.
And it's really cool, man. And it's people to know that stuff.
Yeah, I have a buddy that's testing out a hydroponic system and mm-hmm. you know, and I'm kind of keeping in touch with him about how he's doing it and things that he's finding around our area, which is growing well. And, you know, that's something I do get a little worried about is, you know, what if it's a you know, bioterrorism or a bio
you can't
warfare,
be outside
and you've got to be able to grow inside. Yeah. So, you know, having some ideas on how to do that and like a root cellar, things like that, you know, you're going to rely on because you're
yeah.
going to eat all your food because you're mm-hmm. fat.
Absolutely.
You're going to have to.
Fatty.
So, yeah, gardening. having skill in gardening is going to be life-saving.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, so number 14 is nutrition and cooking. So, I mean, it sounds simple, but, you know, knowing how to make a meal more, you know, like higher calories and
getting
stretch
the most,
a lot further for your
yeah,
family.
Getting the most nutrition out of what
yeah.
you're cooking and
yeah.
how to cook it
Don't,
that way.
You're not going to want to waste anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So you really want to be effective and efficient at cooking, knowing different recipes for your nasty 25-year shelf life
yeah.
MRE, you know, mm-hmm. how you can use that and you know, you do... especially if you're not able to go outside and you're in a bunker, how to make up the difference of, you know, vitamin K and things that you get from sunlight.
Vitamin D and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
yeah.
You're going to want to try to incorporate a real balanced meal. Like my kids will probably die because they're picky.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
They won't want to eat any of this. And they'll
I've
probably
got one
just
daughter who'll just
sit
die.
There and just, she'll just die.
I told her tonight if she doesn't eat her food that I'm buying
you're
crickets,
gonna
she's going to eat bugs. And she did not care. Literally, she did not care.
Yeah,
I'm like, literally,
kids
I'm buying you
tough.
Bugs. That's what you're going to eat, bugs.
Right.
And she's like, okay.
So, yeah, in nutrition, too, you know, with cooking, you want to make sure you have those spices and things to really make
yeah.
a difference so you're not just depressed eating
absolutely
dry pasta all day.
Mm-hmm.
So
the last one we've got is lock picking. This is, you know, this is an asset. Say you want to get into a group, you know how to lock pick. I think that's going to be something that's big, you know, for anybody. Lockpicking is great to get into buildings and rooms without anybody knowing you're there. That's the thing. You can probably breach the door. You can probably, you know, bust through it and do, you know, just brute strength getting through. But everybody's gonna know you were there. So it's kind of a great thing to know to kind of get things stealthily, you know, without causing a huge ruckus. You know, it can get you access to food, to gear, to medicine, all the things you need to get. It can help you get out of handcuffs, obviously, if you have lockpicking skills.
Right.
You know, there's videos everywhere for lockpicking. The guys at Ready Man do a lot of that stuff.
They do.
They were actually at PrepperCon this year picking master locks. You can get lock picking sets, and I think Reading Man sells those.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea to get one and practice with it. It can come in handy, especially in an urban environment.
And on that too, they, you know, if you're going to have, you know, your house, you're probably going to block the locks.
Yeah.
So exactly. What were those little? Didn't they come in it?
Yeah,
Ready Man
deny. Yeah, the in this battle box.
So yeah,
we'll talk about those.
So yeah, mm-hmm. Denying.
So there you are, guys. That is 15 urban survival skills for y'all.
Right on. So real quick, I wanted to also give a little rundown of our other sponsor that we love, Survival Boxes. Mm-hmm. They are the only subscription box packed with all the essential survival supplies that you need for prepping to survive disasters or your next door outdoor adventure. There are three different boxes to choose from, so sign up today and start getting survival boxes delivered to your door every month. No contracts, cancel anytime. Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off your first box on any monthly subscription at survivalboxes.com.
Yes, and I completely, wholeheartedly...
Seriously, try one.
You've got to try it. The Bravo Box is awesome to start your food storage.
Yeah.
Awesome. Freaking love it. It's one of my favorite prepper products out there right now is a Bravo Box.
Yep. If you're really wanting to try a subscription box, mm-hmm. and you want, you know, to be the most effective and probably... the most satisfying for the price.
I think it's the Alpha Box, probably.
I think
the Alpha Box has the food and the gear.
Yeah. So, and you're going to be like, I got all this for this price. This is freaking amazing.
It's a great deal.
We love them. Yeah, their stuff is freaking awesome. So, seriously, 10% off.
Yep,
you will love it. You will not be unhappy at all.
So, we're going to talk about actually BattleBox right now. Their latest Mission 28, is that what we said it was?
Yep.
Urban Survival. Really awesome box. Let's go through it quickly.
Yep. We have a video, so check that out too.
Check out the video.
Pretty much shows it all.
It's on the website.
Yep. So, on the basic box, you know, this is $24.99 cost. You get the Kershaw Shuffle folding knife.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sweet little knife.
It is a sweet little knife. And then you get a seal cock that we talked about, a wrench to get in to get some water to use your water skill. An EDC pocket tool, which I opened a pop bottle with.
Yeah,
so it's pretty sweet. But it's really cool. It's small. It'll attach to a zipper, and you can just a perfect little EDC tool. Then the Ready Man lock blocker. So access.
You gotta be such lock block, man.
Basically, deny people from picking your locks.
Yep.
This is pretty sweet. A manual fuel oil hand pump.
Yep.
And
it's
that's
a fantastic
be sweet
piece
to have.
Of gear. Yeah. It's really great siphon for fuel.
Because you're definitely going to be wanting to get fuel of any source. Mm-hmm. And this thing is really light and awesome. The other things in this box is a folding shovel and trenching tool. Teeny.
Yep.
Tiny.
I've got one that's really similar to it. I've got the SOG version, but now I've got two.
It's awesome. It's really lightweight, folds up tiny. It's sweet. And that's all for $24.99. The advanced box gives you all of that, plus you get the Ready Man Gray Man pack.
Yeah, it's the backpack.
Yeah. And that's
awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's like a super quick access. You just rip it open, and it's got a bunch of little pockets in it, and it folds out really nice. Awesome backpack. It's really comfortable, too.
And it doesn't look tactical. That's why they call it the Gray Man pack. It doesn't look like this bug out.
Yeah, that is pretty sweet.
So it's really Gray Man type.
It is. It just looks like
urban environment
kind of
stuff. Yeah.
Ontario Knife Co. Parapry, which you get, there's two of these, right?
Yeah, there's two.
So these little pry bars, they're pretty heavy duty, essential for
for urban survival.
Urban survival. Then you get 6 feet of paracord from Paracord Galaxy. Paracord's always good. That's free.
Yeah.
The Pro Box comes with also this one includes the other access breacher.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's expensive. The other thing is you get your Ready Man membership premium, and they've got a bunch of videos and training, things like that. And then your Pro Plus Knife of the Month Club. This is the $149 box. You get an off-grid tool survival axe elite, which is freaking bad.
Yeah, it's sweet. It has like a little folding like hacksaw type
blade. It does.
Blade
it's got like a claw
that
you can, you know, pull nails out, and then you've got... you got the hacksaw. It's a hatchet. It's got hex heads in it. Yep. I mean, it's a
check out
super
the video.
Sweet
it's really
tool.
Cool. It's
hard to explain. You really need to check it out.
Yeah.
So yeah,
that's awesome.
All battle boxes stuff.
So TacPack just sent us a new one. They had some really cool stuff. They had the 9-line tumbler, which is really cool.
Yep. Really
it's
nice.
A really nice, well-made tumbler. It's like one of the most like solid ones.
And it looks freaking cool, too.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
The other thing is we got a burn-proof gear rail wrap.
Yep, for your rail, for your AR.
Yeah, suppressor covers. You know, that's what the company makes this stuff. It's really nice for any gun. Arm spec anti-walk pins.
Yep, some anti-walk pins.
And then you've got tactical Phantom Spectre knife, which I really liked. I think it's pretty sweet looking.
Yeah, it's a sweet little
folding
knife.
It's kind of shaped a little different. More of those like tactical blades.
Yep.
And you get all this for 10% off.
10% off with code Casual Preppers.
$50. So.
Exactly. So that's check a steal, out seriously. Check out BattleBox, check knife out alone. TechPack. Yeah. You're making money on that deal.
You really
it's
are.
Time for the quick and dirty medical tip.
All right. So you guys probably zipped right to this and skipped everything else. I know it.
Go back. We had good
so
stuff.
This I thought was quite useful because, you know, medical equipment is expensive.
It's
usually overpriced, you know, always overpriced. So I just wanted to really quick talk about how to make your own dressings, bandages, and binders. So a dressing or a compress, that's the most sterile. That's the first thing that goes onto the wound. So you want it to be completely 100% sterile.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make your own of those. And then
I can?
You can. You can do it too.
Wow.
Bandages, they can be sterile as well. They kind of hold a dressing in place, you know, and they're also absorbent. And then a binder. A binder is one of those massive bandages you use kind of across over your chest.
Yeah,
either
yeah.
Either holds things in place, holds
your
gut.
Heart in.
and they just need to be clean. They don't need to be sterilized. So the material to use has to be 100% cotton. It's absorbent. It's you know, chemical-free. You don't want any color in it. So you want pure white, 100% cotton. I mean, off-white's probably fine. You know.
Yeah.
But you can use sheets, pillowcases, old shirts, things like that. And any of it will work. You just want it to be 100% cotton. So first is you want to take that material and wash it in hot, soapy water and use a little bit of bleach. And then when you're done with that, you hang them to dry in the sun. The sun also helps sterilize. So once you've done that and it's dry, then you take them and you cut them. So dressings, like in the medical clinic, they're typically 2 by 2 inches or 4 by 4. Those are the most common.
Mm-hmm.
But you can cut them as big as you want, you know, 8 by 8, 10 by 10. If you need a 10 by 10 dressing, you're screwed.
Yeah, just don't even worry about it.
Take that cotton, and you want to make it about 4 sheets thick. So, it's you know, it's absorbent and kind of padded. So you're going to take 4 pieces, say you cut up by 4 by 4. You're going to take those, and you're going to put them into tin foil. And you're going to use what's called the, you'll have to look it up, a French fold or a butcher wrap. So it's basically like a hobo dinner type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of wrap it over. You don't want any rips or tears in it. Mm-hmm. And then you roll the ends and seal them. And so you can make a bunch of these little tin foil bandages or packets full of your bandages. And then there's 2 ways to sterilize. First is a pressure cooker. This is the most sterile way that you can do it because it's essentially the same as an autoclave like the hospitals use.
Uh-huh.
So it's steam powered. Basically, just it kills everything. So the way you want to do this, say you have a 4-quart cooker. You want to place a cup and a half of just water down in the bottom. On the rack, you're going to stack all those little tinfoil things about 3/4 full. You don't want to go any fuller than that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to set the little pressure top to 15 pounds. And as soon as you start, it starts rattling. Then you reduce the heat and let it go for 30 minutes. Once that's done, you remove from the heat and then you let it cool off and you take those little packets out and you put them in the oven for at 300 degrees for 30 minutes.
Whoa.
So pressure cook for 30 minutes, let them cool off and then put them on the oven rack for 30 minutes at 300 degrees. It's kind of complex, but once you do that and they're cool, you can take those off and you put them into like a Ziploc bag and they'll store for 9 to 12 months sterile.
Wow, nice.
And I mean, even if they're not fully sterile, it's still an awesome.
It's going to be close enough.
And you have tons of that cloth around, you know. The other method is just by using the oven method. You're bypassing the pressure cooker. So you bake for 2 hours those little packets.
Yeah.
So you want to have a little test packet in there, make sure it's not burning. You got to be careful with that. But if they're wrapped in tinfoil, you're pretty safe. So to check that, the whatever one you're checking, you know, you just dispose of that one or whatever you want to do with that.
Yeah.
And then, so there you go. You have sterile bandages in these little individualized tinfoil. The tinfoil can be used for other things as well. So,
yeah.
And they store for about a year, and it's super cheap, you know, because bandages, you buy those little 4x4 like medical sterile ones. Yeah. You're only getting like 20 for $15 or something. Bandages are made the same way. You cut them, you know, 1 to 3 inches wide and then 5 inches long, and then you just roll them and you sterilize them the same, put them in little packets.
Nice. That's cool.
So, yeah, pretty sweet stuff. A binder, you'll have to look that up. It's kind of a confusing mess. You make a massive rectangle, and you have some loose ends so that when you wrap it around, you're tying the little loose ends.
Yeah.
So just look that up. But, I mean, you can make some pretty sweet stuff on your own and sterilize it, you know, with a pressure cooker, which is
awesome. Well,
I end these things in the name of Casual Preppers.
Thanks, guys, for hanging out. We appreciate you guys listening. Please tell your friends about the Casual Preppers podcast. Yeah.
We spend time for you guys.
Yeah, you know, we do. We work
hard for
you.
We do some prepping for your prepping needs.
Exactly. So please tell everybody about us. Please download. Please go check out the book free this weekend, last weekend in June, basically.
Yeah.
Go get it.
And if you find or Kindle. Think of some cool stuff, you know, send it our way and we'll push it out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Push it hard.
So thanks, guys. We'll see you later.